Already the fourth Sunday of Easter, can you believe it? We are moving rapidly across the midpoint of the season this week. Pentecost coming in the end of May, middle of May. And as I mentioned at the start of Mass, again customarily, fourth Sunday of Easter, known in kind of common church parlance as Good Shepherd Sunday. In years A, B, and C, always from John chapter 10, these snippet of verses, about 20 of them, in which Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," or "I am the gate, and my sheep know my voice, I know them, and they follow me." Beautiful, beautiful readings. To get at why this is an inspiring Sunday to pray about every year, especially for me as a priest anyway, good to get at a couple of points that are worth pondering that we can maybe skip over if we don't dig a little bit deeper. What is a good shepherd? What does that mean? Why is this Sunday so important? Why is John 10 and this part of it so important? The first thing to think about, and bear with me because it might strike you as a little bit odd that I would say this, but it's important to get the rest of the story. There are bad shepherds. We have to understand the fact that there are bad shepherds, if you will, poor shepherds in the world. In fact, they are wolves in sheep's clothing, to use other gospel parlance. You know this. Sadly enough, we all know in recent years about the fact that in the clergy world there are priests who prey on children, who prey on women, who prey on innocent people and abuse our power. That's why things like Safe Environment Week every April and our abuse prevention programs are also important for a safe environment. So it's to try and stem these things. There are bad bishops. There have been bad popes. So in the church, it's true that not always are the shepherds good. They are evil, frankly, sometimes. Same thing, you know, with parents. There are parents who abuse, uncles and aunts who mistreat and who are abusive, who do not help the most vulnerable in the midst to grow and flourish, but take innocence from them. There are bad lawyers, there are bad teachers, there are bad politicians, there are bad police officers, there are bad teachers, you name it. Anybody in authority can abuse it and use it as a hammer to try and keep somebody else down. So there are bad things in the world. The world is frankly sometimes a nasty place because there are some people who treat it that way. In the gospel for today, this point would not have been lost on the listeners in this conversation, and here's the reason why. You don't get it in these verses, but the context for this goes kind of like this. In the chapter right before this, John chapter 9, the preceding episode here that we're catching the next portion of, Jesus is in the temple. This is about maybe 6 to 9 months maybe before his crucifixion, so this would be like the fall, let's say, of the prior year. And what he does is he cures a blind man. Famous story in John's gospel. And the blind man goes running, doesn't know who cured him. The Pharisees catch him and say, "Who did this to you?" He says, "I don't know. He's a prophet." They say, "You don't know that. You're a sinner. You were blind." Eventually, they catch up to Jesus, the authorities, and the blind man. So there stands the blind man. There stand the crowd. There stand the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees. Here is Jesus. And here is where Jesus starts this discourse. So he's talking to the Pharisees as he says this. Why? He's drawing a comparison. I'm the good shepherd. You're not. You're the blind ones. You are the ones who do not hear, do not care, do not see. I am the good shepherd, and you are wicked shepherds for these people. So it's clear from the context of the gospel story that Christ was making a comparison. We only understand, here's my point, why shepherds are good if we first get that some are not so good. Because if we realize that we're in danger, then we want someone to keep us out of harm's way. Why would I love, appreciate, and run to a good shepherd unless I first understood that something else could harm me in the world, and indeed a lot can? So the first point about Good Shepherd Sunday is having to pray about the fact that there are dangers in the world, and if we're not careful, we step right into those traps, and we can become even dangerous ourselves, no? So that's clear. From our own daily lives, if there are poor shepherds, it's true, and from this gospel story, he's talking to the Pharisees, and there's a reason why he did so. Now, contrast that, and here, and mercifully enough, praise the Lord, there are good shepherds too. There are many fine teachers and educators who take great care of kids in their classroom, who are selfless and who spend long hours working to help struggling kids. And there are many, many wonderful, wonderful parents. Most of them in the world, I dare say, really are. Not perfect, they struggle, and they work hard, and they make mistakes, but they love their kids. Same thing with grandparents, aunts, and uncles. There have been wonderful saintly popes. There are good, courageous bishops. There are good, holy priests and deacons. There are good shepherds all around us. And we know that we meet them, do we not? We just sort of understand, we come across a person who understands that their best interests don't carry the day, somebody else's do. That's a good shepherd. Again, the crowds in this gospel story would have understood that too. The image of shepherding, of God as a shepherd, was not foreign to the Israeli people. Famously enough, you know, Ezekiel and the prophets, Ezekiel especially, you know, God says, I will gather the lost sheep of my house of Israel. I will be their shepherd to guide them, and there'll be one flock and one family and one fold. Isaiah, Jeremiah, same thing. The Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. In restful green pastures he leads me. He is my rock, he is my courage, he is my strength. David is the shepherd king. So shepherding as a concept and image for God would have made sense to these people. So for Jesus to say to the crowds, talking to the Pharisees and to this blind guy in the temple, I am the good shepherd, they would have went, yeah, but that makes sense, does it not? He's speaking about the God the Most High, who has always wanted to be for us a good shepherd of his people. So we know good shepherds and we see them, and many of them understood Jesus as to be as one as well when they encountered him. But here's the thing. Jesus does something remarkable here. He takes us to a whole new level that they would not have been expecting at the time. He steps it up a notch, if you will, when he says this, right away in our gospel story, a good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who works to pay sees the wolf coming and runs and the flock scatters because he's no concern for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd, and I put down my life and I take it up again freely, because the Father wills it. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Now, in the crowds back then, here's the part where they would have stopped and went, wait a minute, what did he say exactly? Because using the comparison of a shepherd, who would ever die for a sheep? It's an animal, you know? I mean, no shepherd does that. It's a sheep. Cut your losses, get another one, right? This is how it works. So for him to say something like that is a really bold and radical statement. And it only would take the entire rest of the gospel story, it would take another maybe 6 months or so to pass as the narrative unfolds for the people to realize just what Jesus was talking about. He's talking about the cross. He's talking about the fact that he'll lay down his life in a sacrificial and beautiful way and bring to fulfillment all the shepherd prophecies of old in a way nobody could have ever possibly imagined until it happened. Which brings me to our visual aid for tonight. This icon pictured here on our screens this evening. Now, I did not ask Tammy about this ahead of time when she picked this picture, this icon, but she chose it, and I'm so glad because it's one of my favorites. I have this exact same icon in my chapel at Holy Angels. I've had it for about maybe 6-7 years now, and it hangs on my wall over the tabernacle that I have. And what it means is that every single morning and every night without fail, I gaze on this image and I pray with it. I love it. It is the icon for Good Shepherd Sunday. It's Russian Orthodox. So this captures what the Lord is trying to say so well, and shepherding and being shepherded so well. What do I like about it? Many things. For one, look at how strong he is. You can see how it's painted, how it's written, you know, in his neck and in his shoulders. I mean, this is a strong man. There's no messing with this guy, right? Think of the image, you know, of a dad walking on his shoulders with his 2-year-old, you know, with his kid up on his shoulders, right? You know, here, that's what we have here in this icon, as a parent who lovingly protects his or her children. Don't you love that? Don't you want to be cared for like that? Don't you all want in your life to know a strong person who will walk into harm's way for you? Why is it that firefighters and police officers and soldiers who are killed move our hearts so much? Because they do this for us, like the Lord did for us. He's the standard of strong love that we're all measured against. I love the strength of the icon. I love the strength of the Lord in this picture. I love the fact, second point, that he's in priestly robes. He's in the robes of his divinity and humanity, all cloaked and rolled together. So he is offering himself, as any priest must do, as a victim on the altar to the Father for you and I. Priesthood must be about shepherding, no? It must be about laying down our lives as priests for our people. And when we do it well, all this fruit is born. You know, the ordained celibate priestly vocation throughout human history, lived with love and lived well, has borne countless fruit. When it's lived poorly, it's a disaster. It just wreaks havoc on the church and on the world, right? So he calls us priests to that measure of love as well. It's a great image to pray with. Notice his hands. They're wounded. Maybe you can see it right here on the tops of his hands. Those are the nail marks. So this is the risen Christ, if you will. What does that mean? It means that our brave shepherd, as the opening prayer says, has gone before us, passing through death, leading us into life. So death couldn't stop this man, because he takes his life down and lays and picks it up again with the Father's beautiful love in his heart. We can trust that nothing can harm us either if we follow after the path that he trods. He's wounded and victorious in his wounds. Our shepherd has been through everything for our behalf. Therefore, what am I afraid of? And lastly, and the most important part, and it's hard to see it in full, but I mean, he's framed against the cross. He is carrying, really, if you will, two things at one time in this picture. He's carrying the yoke of the sheep. He's carrying on his shoulders the burden and the weight and the responsibility of caring for the flock, like any parent must do, any priest must do, any teacher must do. Anybody who is in a position of service and authority understands this image. They've got to carry the burden of somebody else's livelihood and life on their shoulders. And to do that requires the cross. There is no shepherding without the cross. Though that's his yoke. That's easy, and his burden that's light. It is the cross. So parents, think about the nights that you're up with your kids when they're young, when they're crying, when their diapers need changing, when their noses need wiping, when they need to be fed. Okay, when you stay up at night worrying when they're in college because they don't come home or whatever, right? I mean, you're living this out. You're living out the cross of shepherding as a parent. Okay? Me as a father to the parishes in town here, same thing. I live this out all the time. This is the burden I carry on my shoulders. So we look at this icon, at least I do every day, at least twice a day, and I ask myself the question, what motivates someone to do that? What motivates a person to live that way? And the answer is easy. The answer is simple. The answer is in the heart of the gospel passage. It's love. What shines through this icon, and Good Shepherd Sunday so beautifully every single year without fail, is profound love. You don't pay someone to do that. You don't do that for money. Like the hired man, he says in the gospel, who is no good. That is love. I don't do this, people, be a priest for money. I'm telling you, that's not enough. Parents, you will never, ever get repaid, never, for what you've done for your kids. You do it because you love them, right? That's shepherding. That's powerful. And when it's done well, by that standard, it pushes the world forward onto the next generation to the end of time until the ultimate act of love comes again in person to gather us into his flock in heaven. It's an awesome image. It's an awesome Sunday. It's an awesome vocation, that of a shepherd, in all of its different ways, shapes, and forms. So on this Good Shepherd Sunday, it's good for us to pray and call to mind, you know, who are the shepherds in my life? Who are the ones who help carry me? No? And am I moved to love by their example and to be a good shepherd myself to people in my midst and in my care? And if so, do I have the courage and the honesty to measure my shepherding against that standard, which is the ultimate standard measurement of every love lived out on this planet? I hope so. I hope so. And today, I hope that all of us will praise and thank the Heavenly Father for sending us the Good Shepherd who is his Son, and ask him to gather us all as his one flock, one nation, one people, into the one fold of heaven, both in this life and in the world to come.